Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good Friday morning again, everybody. A little correction to our schedule. I said the myth of the spoiled child discussion would come now. That's going to be our following segment. So I apologize for that mistake. But as you may be working on your taxes this weekend, you should know about some big changes to tax law this year, including changes for same-sex married couples after the repeal of DOMA. The tax code for home offices is also changing, and we'll talk about that too. The April 15th deadline for your taxes is fast approaching, so we'll get some answers to your questions about tax year 2013 now from Shelley Gotch, CPA with Adeptus Partners. She specializes in taxes for non-traditional families, including non-married partners, as well as artists and foreign nationals and others. So call in now with your questions about what's new in the tax law as you procrastinate your way close to April 15th, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Shelley Gotch, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
So in past years, same-sex couples who were legally married at the state level had to jump through several levels of tax hoops in order to file their federal returns because the IRS didn't recognize their marriage. But after the Supreme Court's ruling striking down the Defense of Marriage Act, that's no longer the case, right?
That is correct. Same-sex couples can now file a married filing joint return as well as married filing separate.
And this is just about everybody in our listening area who might be a gay married person. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut all have this now. So is the process universally simpler?
Yes and no. It's hard to make universal blanket statements about these things because everything is still individual, and as you might expect, everything is still really new.
At the very most basic level, the IRS recognizes a same-sex marriage if...
If you're married in a state like New York, if you're married in other states that don't accept it, the federal government right now is having issues with those states, like with New Jersey, for example, and there have been different filing statuses for couples, gay couples who are together. You know, we've had the civil unions and we've had other designations that have lended itself to make the situation even more confusing.
Do civil union couples and civil unions get different, have different tax challenges than people who are married?
Yes, there's all different kinds of rules. And for example, in New Jersey right now, it was decided that those people that previously were civil unions would now be able to file federally married returns.
What if you got married in New York, you're a gay or lesbian couple, but you're now living in a state that doesn't have legal same-sex marriage? How does that affect your federal tax return?
Well, in general, you would have to file a federal single return. Right. And married. I mean, you'd file. It depends.
Based on where you live now.
That's correct. Many cases, if the state doesn't accept where you are and you go outside and get married and then come back in, that right now is being challenged.
The Daily News had a story that said some gay couples are getting divorced already because they would have to pay so much taxes as married people. Is that true? Is that a thing?
Well, there is the marriage penalty that does kick in when each person makes about $75,000 each, and that exists both on the federal level and the New York State level and other states. There is a new tax, a surtax on let me back up. The inequity between single filers and married filers lies in the fact that we live in a progressive tax structure. The last dollar you earn is taxed the highest. So when you have two single filers, their income is separate and taxed at this progressive rate. When you have a joint filer, that income is piled up on top. And so there are many situations where two single filers get a better advantage than a married, two people filing married. And generally, in those cases, it's the marriage penalty. It's also this year we have an extra tax on Medicare that kicks in for $250,000 for married people and $200,000 for single. So if you multiply two singles, they get a they get to earn $400,000 before this particular surtax kicks in, as opposed to the married where it kicks in at $250,000.
So it's really the same challenge that the marriage penalty is posed for straight married couples for a long time that gay married couples now have to grapple with.
That's correct.
So maybe there are straight married couples getting divorced too for tax purposes but continuing to live together.
If I may add, the only thing that's a little bit different in the same-sex community is that the idea of marriage, legally sanctioned a union, has been very distant for most gay people.
It's been so hard fought for and it's so new.
And yet the paradigm of living within that has not really existed within the same-sex community. However, most different sex people or, you know, people, heterosexual people, that idea of marriage and a legally sanctioned union. So what does that really mean? It means that the idea, the legal ramifications, the tax ramifications of getting married may be a little further from a person who did not grow up within that paradigm than, say, people who did. And that's why the divorce rate might be higher.
CPA Shelley Gotch with us from Adeptus Partners talking about what's new in the tax laws that may affect how you're filling out your federal tax return forms between today and April 15th, 212-433-WNYC. And we'll get into some non-gay marriage areas as we go here. And you can raise whatever question you have, 212-433-9692. Amy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Good morning.
Morning. First of all, I say I appreciate Ms. Gotch saying different sex couples because I don't consider the sexes to be opposite. What I called about was that right after the Supreme Court's decision overturning DOMA, I heard Robert Siegel on All Things Considered ask a guest whether couples, same-sex couples who had been married before this decision, might be able to get reimbursed retroactively for taxes they had paid, separately. And the guest said that there was a possibility that maybe for the previous 2 or 3 years. I wonder if this is going to turn out to be the case.
It's a great question because you can amend tax returns in general going back three years.
3 years.
Right?
That was the case when this occurred, I believe. You can go back 3 years and amend now and take advantage of that situation if it's good for you. You have to do a cost-benefit analysis, as in most cases.
But wait, does it depend when your state got legal same-sex marriage?
Well, I'm not sure because each state would be different because especially right now, there's so much controversy. But in general, if you're in a state like the three states we discussed earlier, you could definitely go back and amend for 3 years.
But to be super clear about that, if same-sex marriage just became legal in New Jersey last year, can you really go back and amend your tax return to be married filing jointly, married filing separately as a married person for 2010 when it wasn't legal at that time?
Well, the advice we're giving people is to go back and do what's known as a protective claim, which would mean that you'd go back and you would file it anyway because the years do close. You know, the years close after 3 years. So you put a protective claim in. And that way...
And see. And it may come out in your favor or it may not.
Yes. And it has to be worth it once again because these tax returns are not cheap.
Susan in Sussex County. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to tell you my situation. I was divorced in 2012, and I have two teenage children that I'm a custodial parent to. So in filing for 2013, I'm a bit confused because I have a fiancé that I live with that financially takes care of all three of us, and he has me as his – I am his dependent. And so I would like to file having two of my children as a dependent, but – Is it not legal for him for us to file separately?
Oh boy, that's a complicated question.
Did you get it? It is because I'm a little bit confused because if your boyfriend is supporting you and meets the requirements to take you as a dependent, then he might also meet the requirements to take your children as dependents.
I see.
There are all these requirements, but it is certainly possible, and you should look into it because this falls under the issues of people sharing children, people sharing assets who are not married. And what does that mean to you?
Susan, thank you. This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River, New York and New Jersey Public Radio. As we get last minute 1040 advice and whatever your tax form is from our guest Shelley Gotch from Adeptus Partners, especially with respect to same-sex marriage laws. Now that DOMA has been struck down at the federal level, that has IRS implications, and anything else that may be new this year, 212-433-9692. Home offices, what has changed?
You know, I must say that the home office has always been something that has been very complex, especially since in New York and perhaps even in New Jersey, but mostly in New York, the rules regarding separate a separate entrance and isolated area has I've always taken a position that in New York it's a little bit different because of the space requirements and because our residences tend to go up and not horizontal. So it really just depends on what a person is doing and how they're using it because it is a very audited form, and in the 8829, it is something that is looked at. So it's a very tricky thing.
Dan in Greenpoint has a home office question, I think. Hi, Dan.
I do. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. I'm an independent TV film professional in New York. I schedule a lot of jobs, movies, etc. And if I'm not in an office somewhere around New York in the city, I do it in my apartment. Basically, in my apartment, it's a typical two-bedroom apartment. I'm wondering what percentage of, if any, I can write off of my lease. Also, to piggyback, I get W-2s, like multiple W-2s. Am I technically an independent, like self-employed person if I have like 12 W-2s instead of 1099s at the end of the year? That kind of thing. And I also have unfiled taxes. So I guess three questions, but... Anyway.
Okay, let's break those apart. First of all, the W-2 is an employee tax statement.
Yeah,
1099 is when you do something as an independent contractor and you get paid without your payer taking taxes out, right?
Well, that's the very basic. There's also other requirements about, you know, where you do your work. But if you get multiple W-2s, all that means is you're a part-time employee in many places. If you get a...
Does that make it harder to take a home office deduction?
Well, a W-2 would be a home office deduction would go on Schedule A. It would be subject to certain limitations, whereas a Schedule C, where you're getting 1099s, that would go right on the Schedule C itself. A question you would ask yourself, or I would like to know, is where do you actually perform your services? Because I hear that you make do the administration, perhaps from either the street or your home. But where are you actually performing services?
Well, I mean, I'm performing services as far as scheduling, sometimes in offices that aren't inside of my own apartment, but many times I'm performing it as far as not shooting in my apartment, but scheduling stuff in my apartment.
Yeah, I can understand that. Unfortunately, I can't give you a specific answer on that. You know, I know it sounds vanilla, but really it's an individual situation. And in particular, I could just tell you, years and years ago, I took the position when I started working with, and this is maybe in the 90s, I took a position that a person, if they got a lot of W-2s, a lot of 1099s, they didn't really wear two hats. They wore the same hat, and therefore everything should go on a Schedule C, and I would show it, and I would disclose it, and I did that for years, and then the IRS started fighting me on it about 10 years ago, and I stopped doing it that way to be in compliance with how they wanted to see it.
And his internet question, if you have internet service and you estimate that you use your internet connection 50% for work, can you then deduct 50% of your...
Yes. I mean, once again, this is a general, but and 50%, sure. If you use it, and any business expense, no matter what entity you are, a sole proprietor is a Schedule C, you know, an employee, it's a little bit different, but any business expense under certain, the code would be deductible.
And you work with artists a lot. So does a home art studio qualify as a home office for this deduction.
Once again, if you're using something for work, and that is what you're actually doing, and the position is that we take is that this is what's real. What's real is you're using this space or that space, regardless of where the space is located and what it was, say, originally intended for. If you're actually using it for something, you know, I tell my clients, take pictures. You know, you could document it as long as everybody's following the rules and knowing what these rules are.
Gordon in Fort Greene, you're on WNYC. Hi, Gordon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I've been in a domestic partnership for, I guess, about 5 years now. And, you know, legally domestic partners as far as the borough of Brooklyn is concerned. But we can never quite figure out. We're of opposite sexes and have just decided to be in domestic partnership rather than be married. And I realize DOMA had no great impact on that, but we've never been able to figure out how, if there's any way we can, whether we should be filing as domestic partners in New York State, which seems to get that. But we can't obviously file as domestic partners federally.
Right.
So just curious kind of if, basically for years now, we've just been filing completely separately.
Yes.
And to some extent, that's fine, but our incomes are very different, and we have a child, so only one of us is claiming her. And at any rate, I'd just love to hear your kind of input on that question.
Well, that's something that I, you know, believe. You are part of a group of people, non-married couple, sharing assets, sharing children, sharing expenses. That is, I believe, really underserved in general. And once again, and the reason for that is because most CPAs, most CPAs don't see two people that aren't married as a single entity. And also the tax structure isn't, you know, it was created when everybody got married. And so the tax structure basically helps and does planning for married filing joint and married filing single. Nobody really thinks about single people sharing assets. So you are in this underserved, and it's very, it's a new road. And so I would advise you to seek out, you know, help, because chances are you're not getting what you should be getting deduction-wise. You might be paying. I don't know if you're both going to different accountants. Many times people aren't advised to see the same financial specialist. It's that egregious. Mm. It goes to that level. In my office, I've seen it over the years where two people come in and they're seeing two separate accountants because they each have a relationship. But sometimes you have to do something because it makes more financial sense for you, at least be aware of what you're giving up, the opportunity cost of what you're giving up maintaining these other relationships.
Gordon, good luck. Another question about the new road. Maureen in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. My question is, in 2013, I was married. My partner had been included in my insurance medical benefits, and we had been charged by the insurance company for we had been charged as imputed income,
right,
the benefit of that partner. But this year, since we got married, that should have been, I believe, for the entire year. But the insurance company is saying they're only allowing it from the day that we got married, which was in October, to the end of the year.
Uh-huh. So this is a question about going back to previous year's tax returns after becoming a gay married couple after the law changed, because previously, when they were just domestic partners, they had to take the employer-provided health insurance for the partner, which some companies do as a matter of policy, whether the state has gay marriage or not, right? They'll give that as a benefit.
They still can.
But then it's a form of income.
That's correct.
Taxable.
That's correct. And you see, that's really out of, I don't really know, that's not income tax in terms of, it's a really a legal question. It's a legal health insurance question as to whether, you know, as far as I know, the employers were able to amend returns and get money back, and people were able to amend returns and get money back. But when it actually kicked in, whether it kicked in actually on the date or for the year, I'm sorry, I couldn't really tell you that.
Good luck. It sounds like another one where they should give it a try.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. These days, like, it's everything's a moving target when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I'm sure we're going to see many, many changes down the road. So something that might be one way right now is most likely, you know, things are changing.
So also on health insurance, first of all, if anybody is still confused about this, the tax return forms that you're filling out right now are for tax year 2013. If you're going to incur an Obamacare tax penalty for not being insured. That's not till next April 15th,
That's right. And one thing I'd like to say is when the married situation also affects Obamacare, because once again, the ability to get reimbursed or get the subsidies is not equally stacked for two single people versus married filing joint. And that goes for college and financial aid as well. And these are the considerations that all people considering marriage have to think about.
And does the advent of Obamacare affect health expense deductions in any way? For example, I notice that as of this year, you can't get as much pre-tax medical spending with workplace flex plans as before. It used to be, I think, unlimited based on what you thought you were actually going to spend. Now it's limited to about $2,500. Right. And I think that's because they want to emphasize Obamacare-related subsidies out of the federal treasury, not taxpayer subsidies for people who may be insured at work.
That's right.
But also have other things that they're spending on health-wise.
That's right. And in addition, I mean, I checked this about 6 or 8 months ago. I haven't checked it recently. But when I read that when DOMA was repealed, that also had effect on the caller earlier where it's a couple that decides not to get married. I read that the insurance companies are now going to change their rules and make it stricter for non-married couples to be covered the pre-repeal of DOMA as opposed to after DOMA when the same-sex group can now get married.
And I read there's another change in deducting medical expenses this year. You can only deduct medical if the amount is over 10% of your income, which is a higher threshold than in the past,
that's
right?
Correct. That's one of the, that's right. That is absolutely correct. I mean, these changes, since I've been a CPA, it's incredible. Sales tax used to be deductible. Capital gains get preferential treatment. You know, no preferential treatment. Taxes is a very moving animal, as I keep saying, and I couldn't even keep track of every change.
And that's consistent to me with what I was saying about the flex plan. They don't want you to have out-of-pocket medical expenses. They want you to buy insurance.
They want you – right. It's a push. It's a political push. Like a lot of things are political pushes, motivations.
But I should say that change doesn't apply to people over 65 from what I've read.
Yeah.
So
it's a different – they're called
over 65, group. You have Medicare, and if you have the health expenses out-of-pocket in addition that exceed – the old lower threshold, I think it's 7.5% of your income, then that's the figure that still applies to you. All right, here's a home office question from Lucy in Manhattan. Hi, Lucy.
Hi, good morning. I've been doing freelance writing for a long time, but I am officially unemployed. retired. I've retired 2 years ago, but I'm doing actually more freelance writing now than I did before. And I was wondering if there is an amount of money that you have to make in order to deduct part of your apartment, because I've always been shunted away from that by my accountant, who said that I would get audited. So now I'm just wondering.
No, there's no particular amount of money. It is limited. You can't take a loss with a home office deduction. It carries forward to the next year. You just need, usually like in any business expense, if you have income against it, so any income, it would just be limited. If you were entitled to the home office, it would be limited to your income. It wouldn't generate a loss at all. So if you had $10 of income and you had a home office that you were entitled to, say, $500, it would be limited to that $10 with the remainder carrying forward.
Kazi in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Kazi.
Hi, Brian. Good morning, and good morning to your guest, too.
Good morning.
Hi. I'm an independent contractor driving a New York City cab, and I have two questions. One is, can I deduct my meal expenses or food expenses? And my second question is, what are the pros and cons for filing separately if I'm married?
Okay. Two good questions. Can a cabbie deduct meals? Because they have to be out.
Well, you take a lunch. I wouldn't imagine so. I'm not a specialist in cabbies, and there are CPAs that do specialize in this very specific industry. But I could tell you in general, no. I mean, just like any other person gets to take a lunch, you know.
And if he's married?
What was the second question again?
He can file.
Oh, right. The advantages of disadvantage. Well, if somebody – normally it's advantageous, as I've been speaking earlier, to do married filing joint. However, if one person has a lot of medical – because the medical is subject to these limitations to your adjusted gross income. So if one person has a lot of medical, It would be better perhaps to file married filing separate. So there are circumstances where married filing separate is better, like, but in general, married filing joint for most people, given what I just said before about the penalties and everything, it is better.
Kazi, good luck out there. And you told my producer that it's never, ever a good idea to get married in November.
Well, not exactly. I was urging people who are planning to get married to do tax planning because, once again, this is another underserved group because with bonuses and money, I had a situation about 8 years ago where a client walked in and got married in November. Instead of, say, in January or February the following year, and she lost $30,000. So once again, there isn't a lot of spotlight on planning for getting married. And I think if people start thinking about it, they'll realize it's very important because this is a lot of money.
All right. 11 days to go till the tax deadline. There you have some advice, mostly on what is new in the tax laws for your 2013 forms. Shelley Gotch, CPA with Adeptus Partners. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now we'll get to the myth of the spoiled child. Parenting expert Alfie Cohn next on why we're too worried about permissive parents and helicopter parents alike. Stay with us.